Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. What an extraordinary day. What an extraordinary day. May 8th, 2025. And I thought I'd do something a little different. Everywhere you go, there's commentary on the new Pope. If you just woke up and you're like, oh, my first show of the day is always Catholic Answers, we have a new Pope. And his name is Pope Leo the 14th. And so I thought I'd start a little bit with something you're probably not going to hear much of, a little commentary on the new Pope. I haven't seen any of that. I don't know why everyone's being so quiet about it. Nobody will share their views, but I want to talk a little bit about Pope Leo. Just before we went on the air, Siobhan came in. Siobhan, the always helpful Siobhan around here, said, today is the feast of the apparition of St. Michael. May 8th is the Feast of the Apparition of St. Michael, and Pope Leo the 13th, the last Pope Leo, wrote the St. Michael prayer that we often say at the end of Mass or in other situations, and apologists pray it all the time. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. The apologists need that. And so there's a connection with today, with St. Michael, to both the day and to Leo the 13th, the last Leo that we had. This is not even the big, like the fact that we have a pope, the fact that he took the name Leo, these are big, big things. But that he's an American, I have to tell you, I am still dealing with that. I don't know how you feel about it. And you're welcome to call us, 888-318-7884. We're going to do open forum. We're going to talk about anything that you want to talk about. But I assume there may be some people who want to talk about the Pope, about the papacy, about what the name Leo means, or any other questions like that. We'll do our very best to get you an answer. If you just want to talk about what it means that we have a Pope from the United States, I'm trying to process why is that shocking to me. And I feel like part of it, I'm going to be frank, is that I think in America, we think of ourselves in some ways as the child, not as the father. The Europe is the father, we're the child. And so to think of the Holy Father as an American, like you always, the father's got to come from over the old world. And now I didn't have that feeling about Pope Francis. And I think it's just because that's not my country. Argentina's not my country. But as an American, it's very odd to have an American Pope. And I know people, I don't want anyone to misinterpret. That's not a judgment on the Pope. I'm not mad that he's an American. I just can't get over the shock. I was listening. I was actually on the air this morning at a local Catholic radio station here, AM 1450 JP2 Catholic Radio. And I started to speak into the microphone and everybody jumped and I thought I did something wrong. And then they started saying, white smoke. And I thought, I didn't process it correctly. I was like looking around for what are they talking about? And then I was like, oh, white smoke, we have a Pope already. And then got to speak within the, there's this period where you know there's a Pope, but you don't know who the Pope is. And then on the air with us, we had Archbishop Corleone from San Francisco, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, and who's just a wonderful, delightful person. And I didn't say to him, "Who do you think it is?" or something like that. I'm not going to do that because what's he going to say? Like in a few minutes, you're going to be proven wrong, and your chances are 1 in 133, basically. So, and we didn't know at that point that it was an American. And then I finished working with JP2 Radio and got in the car to come over here. And I wanted to be back here when we learned who the Pope was. I wanted to be back at Catholic Answers with all my brothers and sisters here so we could hear it together. But then I'm in the car listening to EWTN and I hear Monsi say, I think she said something like they're opening the doors or there's movement or something. I was like, I'm not going to make it back. And then you're listening And EWTN was, you know, they allow you just to listen to what the proto-deacon is saying. And he says all this stuff in Latin. And then he said Robertum, I think, and then Franciscum. And I couldn't figure out Robert Francis. I don't even know anybody named Robert Francis. I thought that was the last name. I didn't hear the, because his name is Robert Francis Prevost. His name was Robert Francis Prevost. And then I heard, it was Matthew Bunsen, Dr. Bunsen said, we have our first American Pope. And I was utterly confused. I couldn't think. I thought of Robert McElroy in Washington. That's the only Robert I could think of. I was utterly confused until they started to describe Robert Prevost, who Tim Staples says he said on the air on Monday. We're looking for the audio of it. He says he said on the air on Monday, if it's an American, it'll be Cardinal Prevost. And then we just started learning about him. And I got here to Catholic Answers. Everybody was just riveted watching the television. And the Pope Leo thing, I think that added to my sense of shock because it's an old-fashioned name. I mean, Leo's an old-fashioned name. So it kind of made me feel like, what is this Pope doing picking Leo? And the obvious thing, the first thing you think if you kind of know your popes a little bit is you think of Rerum Novarum. You think, this Pope is choosing that name because clearly the thing that Leo the 13th is most famous for is Rerum Novarum, which is the beginning of the modern, it's generally cited as the beginning of the modern teaching of the popes on the social order. It's about new things. And so this is the Pope who said, well, look, we got to deal with this, with these new things that are happening in the mass communication and labor and the globalization and all that stuff. And popes Each pope has promulgated some social teaching in every case since then. So you get a sense that this pope is choosing Leo in part because that also Leo wrote to Americans. He was the first pope who wrote specifically to the United States, wrote letters to us here in America, mostly correcting us on some things we needed to work on. That's good. It's good to get correction. God corrects those that he loves. So I'm you know, all processing all of that. And then got here and just listened to or saw the new pope come out and listened to his words in Italian and in Spanish. And my Italian and Spanish are good enough that I could tell he was speaking Italian and then Spanish. That's how good they are. I could say, that's Italian, that's Spanish. What's he saying? I don't know, but I did hear Pace in there somewhere. So I knew that he had made a greeting of peace, but I just want to share with you some of what the Pope said, because I don't know if anybody has shared or how much has been shared. And these are important words when a new Pope comes out. So now he's Pope Leo the 14th, and just amazingly an American in that role, but also a Peruvian and also a European. I mean, he's an extremely cultured, well-educated man. And he comes out with the first words, and this is very intentional on his part. Popes don't mess around with the first words they say as the Pope. They do not mess around with it. This is, one thinks back to John Paul and be not afraid, you know, right? In the time of where everything seemed to be dissolving after the Second Vatican Council and in the midst of the sexual revolution, and he comes out and says, be not afraid. Well, this Pope came out and said, peace be with you all. And then let me read a little bit of what he said and see what you think of it. Dearest brothers and sisters, this is the first greeting of the risen Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the flock of God. I, too, would like this greeting of peace to enter your hearts, to reach your families, to all people, wherever they may be, to all nations, to the whole earth. Peace be with you. I don't think you could have a more perfect opening to a papacy than that. I don't know if Pope Leo is going to be the greatest pope ever or if he's going to be one of those popes where we go, let's skip over that guy in class. we'll just move real quick. I don't know. You don't know either. Nobody knows. But as far as a beginning, if you want to start, I think those four lines those four sentences that he started with, you can't beat it. You can't do better than that. That's as good as it possibly gets. And then I heard the commentary then, the various news heads saying, well, think of the war in Iraq and the war in Gaza and frankly, for a lot of talking heads, you know, the Congo doesn't even exist. Or, you know, that there's two wars that we got to think about, those two. But actually, there are some horrible wars around the world. So they're saying, well, the Pope is putting himself forward to say we need to stop all this. And I think that that's right, but that's not even close to enough. That's right, but that's not even close to enough. This is a greeting of peace after the person of Jesus Christ. He's specifically invoking and blessing the world with the peace of Christ. And the peace that we're lacking in this world is only the tip of that is war. The lack of peace in this world goes far, far deeper than that. For whatever reason, modern life robs us of peace. So here you have this man who has now taken the name Leo, which harkens back to the church's first effort to, in a systematic way, engage with the new things of modern life. And I think what he's telling us right from the beginning is, look, this is the thing that you're lacking in modern life. And this is evangelical on his part. This is evangelizing the world, that the person of Jesus Christ can give you back what you're robbed of. You know, our families are starved of peace. Our roads are starved. Everything is starved of peace. Our own minds, our own souls are starved of peace. So I think that's the great beauty of the opening of this papacy. You couldn't do it any better than that. And then he added so many beautiful things that were very, very touching. And again, evangelical. That is, what I mean by that is he used this opportunity of his introduction to the world, and it really is an introduction because everybody had their choice, and I think 11 people, it turned out to be 89 at least, had him at the top of their card, because that's how many cardinals it took to elect him. But I, you know, nobody was like, number one guy, it's going to be this guy from Chicago, Robert Prevost. No, nobody thought that. And so he's using his moment of introduction to the world in an evangelical way. To invoke the peace of Christ, to say, I, in this office of St. Peter, also pray for peace in the world. He's making himself as the vicar of Christ, just repeating the resurrection words of Christ. But listen to how simple, but how perfect his words are. God loves us. God loves you all, and evil will not prevail. We are all in the hands of God. I have to say, I when I read the words translated into English, I started to feel a great sense of calm about this papacy. A great sense of, you have that upset of, I don't know who this is, and it's an American, and that's weird, and what does it mean that he picked this old-fashioned name Leo and all that? And then you just hear his beautiful evangelical spirit in his first words, and you, at least I did. I that was the first sense of, oh, well, we might be in for something really good here. We might be in for something really good. I don't know. I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. I don't know what's going to happen. But as far as the start, I just wanted to say that before we got going on the show today. That's a pretty darn good shot. So start, I mean to say. So let's continue to pray for Pope Leo XIV, getting used to saying that name. And if you want to call and talk about him or anything else, you have any question, we love talking about the Catholic faith. Darren said to me to say, and I should have said this, he said, you know, a lot of people are interested in the Catholic faith right now because it's all over the TV and it's everywhere. If maybe you're one of those people and you have an introductory question to the Catholic faith, like, what is all this about? Why do you do all this? You're welcome to call too. If the Pope started his papacy as an evangelist for the peace and love of God, then let's assist him in that evangelization. And if you're new, if you are new to this whole idea of the good news or the Catholic Church and all that, give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Catechism in a Year with me, Father Mike Schmitz, is now available right here on Catholic Radio. encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us, revealed in Scripture and passed down through the tradition of the Catholic faith, as we journey together toward our heavenly home.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, on EWTN Radio.
Got great apologists with us both hours today. Second hour, Tim Staples will be in here. He probably doesn't have any opinion about the new pope, so we'll don't bother Tim with your... Oh, wait, perhaps he will. Perhaps he will have something to say about the new pope. This hour, we are delighted to welcome who's become a good friend of us here, William Albrecht. His Spanish is good enough that he knew what the pope was saying. I don't know how his Italian is, but I know when the pope switched to Spanish, I said, oh, he switched to Spanish. And I can understand a little bit of it, but you could understand what the Pope was saying, William Albrecht.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Now, as far as my Italian goes, not a word. But I do know I've got a number of very good near and dear Italian brothers and sisters, and they said that it was impeccable, that it was great. So yeah. Hey, with that being said, look, I got to be honest, my brothers. So I'm just thrilled and pumped. Today's a great day. We've got a Pope. And we've all got to pray for the Holy Father, and I have a very good feeling about this. I think he's going to really do a great job of reuniting perhaps maybe what we would be concerned as fractured camps, and I've got a very, very high hopes for him, and just praying for him, and I hope everybody does unite, and we all pray for the Holy Father.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. I hope it doesn't come across as negative that I say I was shocked, because it's just a feeling of shock. It's not a feeling of opposition. Yeah. It's a feeling of... I never thought they were going to choose an American. I was pretty sure of two things. Yeah. It won't be an American, and it'll be on Friday. And so you can see I am not a trustworthy person in these estimations. But did you feel a sense of shock that it was an American?
I was blown away. If there's one thing that I did not have anywhere near my mind was that it would have been an American. I was dialoguing with a few brothers and sisters, and that's the one thing that we had nowhere near our minds. So when I heard it was an American, I had to kind of, clean out my ears, but I was hearing correctly. It was indeed an American, and hey, I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I have to say I have one negative response to it, it's the people in Chicago already think they're the best. Like they already have, they feel like they're better than everybody else in America. And now they have a Pope. Are you kidding me? You're just not going to be able to deal with people from Chicago now.
Yeah, and one of my near and dearest friends is from there, and by the way, he's one of my closest friends, so I can say this. If he was insufferable before, imagine now.
I know. I hope the White Sox win. You know, like that'll be a good. Oh, the Pope got the White Sox to win the World Series. How about we take some calls? You ready, William?
Well, let's do that. Let's do that. By the way, I heard he was a Cubs fan.
Oh, he's a Cubs fan?
That's what I was told.
He's already got his World Series then, right? The Cubs.
He's got it already. Yeah, he's got it. Not too long ago.
Yeah, my daughter went to school in Chicago, and she arrived at school, and people were parading through the streets and everything. And she goes, I think they won some kind of sports thing here. I was like, yeah, they won the World Series. Stay off the streets for a few days.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Frank in New York City. New York City. Welcome, Frank. What do you got for us?
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
I've been watching the issues about the Pope on many different channels, and they all seem to say the same thing. He's going to follow Francis's agenda, and you know they're all very liberal, the press, and they want them to expand it. And just the fact that he took the name of Leo the 13th, you know, with the social justice teaching, and that's all fine, but they also left out, conveniently, I would think, there was another Leo that came before the 13th. That was Leo the 10th. And that was the Pope that actually excommunicated Martin Luther as a heretic back in 1520 because of we know why.
Uh-huh.
So that's issue number one. Issue number two is that Martin Luther was an Augustinian. And this fella came up, this Pope, as an Augustinian.
Wow, you're seeing all kinds of connections.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of connections.
Yeah.
I think the Leo thing is a double-edged. I think he was sending us a double message there. He was going to do what Francis did. He was going to be. But we all know that a Pope cannot change doctrine. And he's not going to cater to the news media, because that's what they want. They want the church to keep going further and further toward the left, and that's just not going to happen. It can't happen. So I see connections there with all these things and with the name and everything, and I actually am elated that it's an American that came in, because America needs to be pulled back and stop the wholesale sinning that we're involved in.
I want to get William to respond to that. That's quite an extraordinary thing, that last thing. This might be good for us as Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You see a lot of positivity. And by the way, Frank, God bless you. Thank you for the call. Number one, you brought up a lot of great points in terms of the Pope Leos of the past. Let's also remember the very first Pope Leo, Pope St. Leo the Great, who was a towering figure of Orthodoxy and one of the greatest Christologists ever. Well, here is the amazing connection there. Our very first Pope Leo was an Augustinian, had very strong influence from the great St. Augustine, and we know that from the great Council of Chalcedon. So what do I think about the name that he took? I think that he's very well aware that the name that he took carries monumental weight with it, and I think it is a message that he recognizes that he is here as the shepherd of the flock. He is going to uphold doctrinal clarity. And I truly do think it is a wonderful and a great sign. And my best advice I can give you is for the negative chattering out there, maybe whatever media outlet may be giving negativity, maybe saying, well, he plans to continue whatever sort of agenda, I would tune that out right now, completely tune it out, because we saw there was a lot of that during other pontificates, and very often that is done for clicks and doesn't have any truth to it. So I have very high hopes for the new Pope, and hey, I think we should all pray for the Holy Father, and I do think it is a great sign of the explosion of the faith in America. It's a great, great sign, and I think a lot of good things are going to happen from this.
Frank, thank you. Thanks very much for getting us started today. Appreciate the call. Second call from New York. Lucas is in New York. Thank you, Lucas, for the call. Go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Hi, Lucas.
If you went into a Orthodox church, could you receive the Eucharist and it be like valid?
That's a great question. So first off, for our audience that may be wondering, Lucas is wondering, if you go into an Orthodox church, and let's kind of be very clear, it could be Eastern Orthodox or Syriac or Oriental Orthodox, if you will, would it be valid? We've got to look at the code of canon law. And the code of canon law is very clear that if, in case of an emergency, let me give you a kind of wild example. We're in the middle of the desert. Cy and myself are out. We went to whatever event, and we got stranded in the desert, and now there's no Catholic church near us. It is Sunday. We got to get to Mass, and there's only an Orthodox church nearby. That is the case of an emergency. We can go and partake of their sacraments. Their sacraments are valid. They do have a valid priesthood. But the ordinary way of us partaking of our sacraments is in a Catholic church. So in a case of an emergency, without a doubt, we can. And I gave you a wild example of an emergency. But ordinarily, you want to find a Catholic church. That is where you want to find, because you want to find a church that has the fullness of the faith. And another thing, Orthodox churches, they kind of prefer that you go to your own church. So again, only in the case of an emergency, I would recommend that. But if that does arise and you do have to go to an Orthodox church, they do have valid priests, they do have valid bishops, and yes, it would be a valid sacrament that you partake of.
Okay, Lucas?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, but hang on. Don't go anywhere, though, Lucas. I want to send you a book. We got the big book of Catholic Answers, and if you'd like it, we would be happy to send it to New York. We're really trying to build up the faith in New York because Chicago has a pope now. We need to get one out of New York City, or this is going to be – really, we're just not going to be able to live with the people from Chicago. So hang on. We'll send you the big book of Catholic Answers if you'd like it, Lucas. Up next, we go to Iowa. Zach is in Iowa watching on YouTube. Glad you're here, Zach. Go ahead with your question.
Hey. Admittedly, I knew nothing about our new pope. I hadn't paid enough attention to the electorals at all. So I just assumed
you're not required to pay attention. Like you, right. Like, oh, you, yeah, know, you don't have to. Catholics can just wait, let the Cardinals decide, and move on. Like, we, you could do as much as, yeah, or as little as you want, like, on that.
100%.
Yeah, my point says, like, I just kind of immediately thought of, you chose Leo as being steadfast against the extra specific persecutions that are going on in Europe and America at the moment. Yeah. It was just throwing my two bits in there. Anyway, my question was, do you have any general guidance on discerning whether or God is actually shutting a door for you, or if you're just experiencing evil spirit resistance in a path that you should take?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I'm glad you asked it. And these are questions that very often were brought up by the great Padre Pio and many other incredible saints, that they were, quite frankly, harassed by demons because of their incredible holy work. So what can we do to discern? Is this a door that the Lord is closing before us, or is this satanic resistance? We've got to pray. We've got to fast. We've got to get to confession. And on the other side of the break, I promise to go in deeper for you.
Zach, I hope you can hang on through the break. William Albrecht is our guest on an astonishing day in the Catholic Church. And whatever your question is, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Father Jeff Kirby, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme, Go Make Disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Hi, this is Janet Williams. You don't have to be a woman to enjoy Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Ask Me Anything today. William Albrecht this hour, next hour, Tim Staples. Phone number stays the same, 888-318-7884. We're talking with Zach in Iowa, asking for some guidelines about discerning when things are satanic resistance or when it might just be God saying, no, don't go that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And so to continue the thought of where we were at, one thing that I would highly recommend for you to look at, Zach, is look at the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7. It says, by their fruits you shall know them. So my advice to you is, if doors are closing before your eyes, and another thing to look at is, if they're closing and there's no good fruit coming out of them, despite you praying, despite you lifting it up to the Lord, it may very well be the Lord closing the door. And then, of course, on the other side, we need to remember not all obstacles are demonic, but then if it is a kind of obstacle causing you spiritual discomfort and all kinds of things along those lines, it may be time to move away from that, because that could be some kind of darkness there as well. We remember that spiritual warfare is very, 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 very real. So my advice to you, definitely live a life of fasting, prayer, get to confession, and keep praying about it.
Zach, thank you. It's always nice when you call here. We have full lines, so I will keep moving. I hope that that was helpful to you. Going to Dayton, Ohio now. Barry is in Dayton, Ohio, listening on our app, the Catholic Answers Live app. Welcome, Barry. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, fantastic. How y'all doing today?
Really good. We got a new pope. I don't know if you heard, but we got a new pope.
I did listen to part of his initial address.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I cannot tell the difference between Latin, Spanish, Italian, or Chinese. It's all monkey noises to me, so it was lost.
Chinese, I think you could tell Chinese. Among those three, I think you would be able to pick out the Chinese, Barry. Now, you may not be skilled at languages, but Chinese is pretty distinct.
That being said, I also had $20 riding on Cardinal Dolan.
Uh-oh. So,
do you know something? I kind of thought Dolan might...
disappointed.
You're not disappointed that you lost your $20?
You know, at least an American one. So, okay. You know, I'll eat the $20. My comment to you, question, comment, however you want to look at it. Over the last 20 years, there has been a conservative movement in American church growing between the Latin masters and people embracing old-time values as opposed to the drumming guitar mass and the coloring book religion classes that I grew up in. Do you think this hard course change to conservatism might have had influence on there being a first American pope instead of being viewed as wild cowboys by Europe?
let me try and tackle it. By the way, thank you for the question. Let me try and give you an answer in terms of the resurgence, in terms of the traditional Catholicism. What is it that we see in the U.S.? So let me tell you, as one that travels not only all around the U.S., speaking, giving talks, and what have you, in Texas, in many areas of the U.S., what we find is a lot of people that love the traditional Latin Mass. They are phenomenal people. But we also have to note that there is a resurgence in Eastern Catholicism. We have a wonderful Mass. We have a wonderful divine liturgy. People love it. It's phenomenal. But let me also add the Novus Ordo. Around the U.S., there are phenomenal masses around the U.S. in Texas, in Latin American-speaking areas where there are a lot of Latinos, a lot of Hispanics, and you have what is primarily called the ordinary form of the Mass, the Novus Ordo. Phenomenal amount of people that go there. Great masses, great priests, great deacons. The idea that people tend to make a caricature of and say, well, you know, those guitar strumming masses are, you know, they're not producing any good fruit. A lot of them are producing phenomenal fruit because we have great priests, great bishops, great deacons. And as a result of that, I think that the American cardinals and bishops are taken very seriously in Rome. Maybe they weren't 30, 40, 50 years back. I think that they are now, because people see that in America, we have such a great divergence. So many different groups of people, wonderful people that love the Lord, love the faith, and the faith is growing at a great rate. And I think because of that, I think we're ready for a U.S. Pope. And, you know, because of what I've laid out, we have that cultural foundation that Rome simply realizes, you know, we can't ignore that. There are legitimate candidates. And by the grace of God, look, we've got an American Pope now, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Thank you very much, Barry. I appreciate the call and the question. Lots of folks on the line. I am going to continue on. Oh, no. It's Stephen from Chicago, Illinois. I love people from Chicago. I just want to amend my earlier comments. Sorry about that, Stephen. I love Chicago.
Well, I won't stop bragging about it now. So. I'm very happy.
All right. Well, maybe have a little ketchup on your hot dog to celebrate tonight.
I will definitely do. And if the answer to my question will be positive, I will double celebrate or more celebrate. Okay, so my question is, so when the Pope blesses you, can you also receive some of his professional knowledge? So specifically, if the Pope is very good at math, can by his blessing increase the faithful knowledge of math?
That's a great question, and a little bit of a fun thought, I'd say. But we need to realize, what is a papal blessing? Now, while a papal blessing, and they're wonderful, doesn't actually, and it won't impart mathematical knowledge, it is a spiritual grace. It's not kind of like an iCloud intellectual download. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But it isn't. So the fact that the Pope has great knowledge in math, and it could definitely influence how he approaches problems, you know, deals with his reasoning, you know, even maybe dealing with theological nuances, you know, with greater precision, logical precision. It isn't going to then impart a kind of mathematical download to us, although that is a kind of fun thought, though.
All right, Stephen.
May I follow up?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about Peter, right? Peter, first Pope. One might think that he taught like some of his disciples how to fish. So maybe if Pope Leo XIV knows very well math, would there be any chance?
There could definitely be influence in terms of people being influenced on his incredible skills, his incredible precision. We need to realize and remember that St. Peter very clearly worked with other people. He would have imparted that knowledge to them, and then they would have been able to pick it up in that way. So in that particular manner, yeah, without a doubt, people could learn from the Pope and his incredible precision and his incredible talents. From what I have briefly looked at, I am elated that he is thrilled to identify as an Augustinian. Now, that does bring with it a lot of very, very good theological nuances. And with that in mind, I'm very, very thrilled for the outlook of this papacy. And as I tell everybody, you got to pray for the Holy Father. Imagine us today, Cy and myself, greeting each other like, man, what a day. Well, imagine him, right?
Yeah. I will tell you one thing. This might be helpful to you, Stephen. St. Hubert is the patron saint of mathematics. You seem very concerned that mathematics. So if you want math the knowledge to be spread, pray to St. Hubert. And thank you very much. And congratulations to you and everybody in Chicago. First American Pope from Chicago.
Yep.
I just don't know what else to say about that. It was already America's greatest city, and now it's got a Pope. Alyssa, down in Austin, Texas, listening on Armor of God Radio. Welcome, Alyssa. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. So I don't know if you've read Cy Kellett's Ad Limina book. It's a phenomenal book. It actually won Best of the Year at Catholic Reads. But I keep thinking about it as I'm listening to this stuff about the Pope, because the American Pope, because I feel like Ad Limina captured kind of the uncomfortable situation a lot of American Catholics find ourselves in politically.
First of all, Alyssa, before you go on, yeah. I need to do two things. First of all, you can have any gift you want from Catholic Answers, because no. Nobody ever calls and asks about my I wrote a little novella about a science fiction novella called Ad Limina. The second thing is, when you say the book title, just slow down and say it really clearly. Okay. So, all right, go ahead, Alyssa.
Ad Limina?
Yes. Okay, very good. Nicely done.
I don't know much Latin. yeah, I've actually been trying to reach out to you for a while, because I'm a huge fan of this book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very, very much. The idea, the book is designed as what might be called a picaresque, which is kind of the hero travels from place to place and has a little adventure in each of the places that he goes to. And it is true that I intentionally wrote it so that in each place, those adventures relate to the evils of the modern world, you know, so...
And now we have a Pope that's, like, intimately in that fight with us. Amen. And knows it, which is kind of bad for us, because he knows all our dirty laundry. He knows the our moral strengths and weaknesses, and
right.
By golly, I bet he's going to call us out on it.
Yeah, but this, we should feel happy about that. I mean, if we have, we should feel happy about that. I mean, it's like young people. I'm told that like 14 and 15 year olds, they are aware of the dangers of social media. Like they will actually, it's not like the generation before because they've seen the consequences and people have pointed it out to them, their teachers, their parents, even their older brothers and sisters. So I agree with you. The Pope knows us as Americans. We're not going to get to go, oh, he doesn't understand America. if he corrects us, he knows and he knows us. And we should be happy about that. I don't feel threatened by that or upset about that. Go ahead, Alyssa. Talk more about my book.
I just wanted to read this one line from your book, and I wanted your thoughts on it, and maybe...
Well, you don't even need to read it. It's brilliant. Okay, now read it.
it's at the very end where Bishop Mark is, like, been stuck between this fascist group that they're fascist, but they're also very tolerant and open to faith and religion, and then you have a more democratic liberal group, but they classify most religions as hate groups and are okay with human experimentation. This sounds familiar. he says, I decided to help you because even a sick freedom is better than the slavery of fascism.
Yeah.
Even a world that is destroying itself in fantasy and pride is filled with people hungry for reality and ready to accept it humbly. The waiters set their plates down in front of them. Bishop, do you really believe we're destroying ourselves? I do. But you're going to stay with us anyway? There's always hope, so long as there are people who can respond to God when he calls.
Oh,
and then, I didn't plan this, but you put people like Father Augustus.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
One of the characters in the book. Oh, I thank you for reading that. I mean, the book is 12 years old now, and I don't remember what's in it. So I do remember there's a talking monkey in it, but the... I do believe that. The temptation to fascism is a terrible temptation for people who want order in the world. And even though our world is profoundly disordered with abortion and addiction, all that it has, you have to be on the side of freedom because God is on the side of freedom. God has given people the freedom to choose. And that fascist view just will not work. You're so generous to call up and read my... No one has ever done this. Could you just give... Go ahead, Alyssa.
Definitely look up Catholic Reads because they're a big fan of you as well.
I will. You're very nice. I'm going to put you on hold because I got to take a break, but I don't go anywhere because Edgar's going to give you a fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. Right back with more William Albrecht. Ask me anything on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1978. Mother Angelica produces her first television show, Our Hermitage, at a local television studio. The Christian Broadcast Network requests 60 episodes. To cover the cost, Mother returns to the speaking circuit.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Enormously inflated ego right now. Enormously inflated ego. I will be more insufferable than a Chicagoan who just found out that a Chicagoan is the Pope. That's how insufferable I'm going to be now because of that nice call from Alyssa before. We go now to Paul in Portland, Oregon. Our guest is William Albrecht. Paul, go ahead with your question for William.
Yeah, hi, how are you? The name Leo.
Okay.
Leo the First, or Leo the Great,
Yeah.
Is responsible for a lot of the Augustinian doctrine that is now dogma. And, you know, he did the Tome of Leo, which is a brilliant document. But during the papacy of Leo the First or Leo the Great, the West, Rome, you know, the Bishop of Rome, and the whole Western Empire fell to invaders. And then it was 350 years later, under Leo the Third, when he joined forces with, what's his name? Son of Pippin, Charlemagne. Excuse me.
No, people don't usually refer to Charlemagne as the son of Pippin, but
never.
That's true. But it usually goes the other way. But
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, the name Leo. But anyway, a question: who elevated this guy or the now Pope Leo the
14th,
I guess. Yeah, and who elevated him to cardinal? And you know.
Oh, what do we know about him? Okay. Go ahead, William.
Yeah. So here's a great question. So let's first touch upon your comments about Leo, and then we'll get to the idea of who elevated him to cardinal. We'll talk about those other issues. Number one, Pope St. Leo the Great, in his masterful Tome of Leo, yes, it was heavily influenced by Augustinian theology and Christology, but there's nothing wrong with that because Augustinian Christology and Trinitarian theology is very much in line with Cyrillian, Saint Cyril of Alexandria. So the Christology of Leo very much echoes that of the patristic period before him. So if we say that a lot of what Augustine taught was dogmatized, well, there's really nothing wrong with that at all, because Augustine was a great, great early father. Now, if you're talking about the current pope, we'll look at who appointed him as cardinal. And if Pope Leo the 14th, he was made a cardinal under the papacy of Pope John Paul II. So actually, no. He was made a cardinal under Francis. My bad. He was made a cardinal under Francis. As far as any other information about him, it's very fresh. This pontificate is very fresh. I don't know a whole lot of other details other than I think that this is a great, great signaling. The signaling that he is choosing to align himself as an Augustinian. Now, why do I think that is tremendous? Because I think that goes right in line with him picking the name Leo. He realizes that the name Leo is one that classically has upheld doctrinal clarity, traditional teaching of the church, and quite frankly, some of the greatest popes that we've had have taken the name Leo. I think that the message he is sending out is one of desiring to unify the church in the sense of certain people that may think, well, you know, what kind of a pope are we going to get? Are we going to get a pope that, you know, wants to show people that we need to be united during the tumultuous period that we're going through? And I think the name Leo truly does a phenomenal job in that regard, because if we look to the first pope, St. Leo the Great, it was during a quite tumultuous period, as we know very well. Shortly before Chalcedon, there was that schism between the Orientals and the Catholics, and it was a period, it was quite the tumultuous period. Even though it would take time for that Tome of Leo to be completely accepted by many other dissenting voices, it did get accepted. It was the beating heart of Christology there at Chalcedon, and today we look towards Chalcedon as a magnificent beacon of Christology from the Bible, from the early fathers. So I think the name he took is a phenomenal, phenomenal title. And I think him choosing to immediately identify himself as an Augustinian tells us who he wants to identify as. And I can see a lot of positive things from this from the very get-go.
Paul, I'm going to say thank you. I hope that was a satisfying answer for you, but I do want to get as many on with William as I can before we have to go. Betty's in North Carolina listening on 540 AM. Betty, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for William.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I stumbled on your show today. I know everybody's asking about the Pope. That's why I turned the radio on to hear about him. But when I heard it's called Catholic Answers, I had a question. What's the difference of the view of the Holy Communion in the Episcopalian Church versus the Roman Catholic Church? And can Episcopalians partake in Holy Communion in the Catholic Church?
Thank you, yeah. Betty.
That's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking that. Number one, when we talk about Episcopalians, that is a part of the Anglican tradition in America. We need to be very clear immediately. So there are significant differences. To answer that last question immediately, no, one that is an Episcopalian, one that is part of that Anglican tradition, no, they cannot partake of communion in the Catholic Church. The very reasons are because we have core differences in terms of the way that we view our sacraments. In the Catholic faith, we truly do believe that in the Eucharist, we've got the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord present right there. The bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ. In the Episcopalian tradition, there are two what they call great sacraments. Even though the Eucharist is one of them, unfortunately, their view of the Eucharist is a very low view. They will call the Eucharist a real presence, but they'll call it a spiritual one. But then when you begin to unveil, what do they believe? Okay, they call it a real presence. They call it a spiritual presence. And then you ask them, okay, well, is God, is Christ truly present there, body, blood, soul, divinity? And they're going to ultimately tell you, no, not in the way the Catholic Church believes it. And the way the Catholic Church believes it is the biblical way and the way that the early church fathers viewed it as well. So right there, there is a key divide. The other divide as well is in the liturgy. There are massive differences in the liturgical life of both churches and in terms of ordination as well. The Catholic Church does not recognize them as having valid holy orders. So that is another very key difference that we have.
Okay. I had heard that second thing, but I had not heard the first, if you press them
what
on
was
the
that?
Real presence. The presence. Like, if you press them on the real presence, then probably the answer would be no.
Let me unveil that a little bit for you to help you out with that. So what you have in Anglicanism, Episcopalian arm of it in the U.S., what you have is you have a church very similar to Calvinism in the way that they view the Eucharist. What does that mean? That means that they're not going to flat out tell you, well, we believe that the Eucharist is merely symbolic. They claim to have a higher view of the Eucharist, but ultimately, as you peel back the layers, it ultimately does amount to a symbolic Eucharist, even though they will tell you, yes, the Lord truly is present. You tell them, okay, well, then Christ, God, is truly present right there. He's present, body, blood, soul, divinity. Then they'll eventually tell you, no, he is present by our side. He is not present there in the Eucharist itself. And so there is a great, great difference there in terms of how we view the Eucharist in the Catholic faith and within the Episcopalian tradition.
Okay, Betty?
That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Betty, if you want, we'll send you a book we have. It's called Why We're Catholic, and it describes why we're Catholics. I guess it's a pretty self-explanatory one. I don't know why I had to add to that. If you want it, we'll send it to you. I'm delighted that you found us and that you were willing to call. We have a website. It's catholic.com. If you want to check out that website, we'd be delighted if you would. Hang on if you want the book. All you have to do is give us an address, and we'll send it to you. Our guest is William Albrecht. Where else can people find you, William? Other than just tuning into the show every day and hoping you're on, where else can people find you?
Yeah, they can find me at patristicpillars.com. They can find everything that I'm working on over there. Very often, by the grace of God, I get to join my friends here at Catholic Answers, Cy, and we have a wonderful time here. But I also highly recommend for them, for maybe people that are tuning in and watching me, I recommend you tune into Catholic Answers all the time because you're always going to get meaty theological information. Whether you're on the go, you can hear it on the repeat afterwards, available on YouTube and on the app. I'd recommend they tune in all the time to Catholic Answers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, William. At Patristic Pillars, what are they going to find there?
They're going to find, oh my goodness, tons of debates that I've done, a lot of debates, including one I did a year and a half ago on Catholic Answers. They're going to find that one as well. Talks that I've given in English and in Spanish, and a lot of pretty much what I'm working on. Where am I traveling to? I'm going to be debating, giving a talk. They'll find everything there.
Did you go over to England and do your missionary work
in
England?
Sure did. Two debates, a lot of missionary work, and it went, I got to tell you, it went phenomenal. It went great.
Oh, great. Great.
Only one complaint, I missed my return flight to the U.S. I was delayed a whole day.
An extra day in England. You poor dear. Your life is very hard. Did you debate Muslims over there?
I did. Two of them. Sure did.
Well, I'm glad that it went well. Can we see those debates online?
They will be airing within a week, and by the grace of God, they went very well.
Praise God. All right, our guest has been William Albrecht. Check out Patristic Pillars. Hey, listen, if you're online, don't go anywhere. Hang on. Tim Staples is coming, and he will be delighted to take your question. And if you haven't dialed yet, there's going to be one line open, maybe two during the break. Try hopping on one of those lines. The number is 888-318-7884. If you want to talk about the new Pope Leo, Pope Leo the 14th. If you want to talk about any Pope Leos that came before, or if you want to talk about anything else having to do with the Catholic faith, you are welcome to call today, 888-318-7884.